What's up? This is Kinsley, and you're listening to the Curls and Courage podcast. Hello, what's up, you guys, and welcome back to another episode of the Curls and Courage podcast. We're like 3 to 4 days into the new year. I hope you guys are feeling blessed. Hope you guys are feeling mentally and physically well. If you're new here, I'm your host, as always. My name is Kinsley, and I am a mental health advocate. I'm also a coach and an athlete, and really, I just created this podcast to hopefully inspire you to reach your highest physical and mental potential. That's what we do here on my show. So if you're an avid listener, I really appreciate you. And again, if you're new, welcome to my show. So most of you know, or at least have a general idea on just how passionate I am when it comes to overall health and wellness. So being a fitness and nutrition coach, I work with a wide variety of individuals. However, I would say the majority of my clients are females. And one of the main issues that I see with some of my girls is patterns of disordered eating or maybe even eating disorders. So both are pretty related and they share similarities and differences. And I want to give a brief disclaimer before we kind of break down the overall message and topic of today that we are going to be going very deep in this episode when it comes to talking about disordered eating patterns and eating disorders. So if this is something that is maybe a little bit triggering for you, I just wanted to let you know that I do feel like it's a topic that needs to be discussed, but I feel like this episode will give you some value, some knowledge, and some inspiration to hopefully help you better your relationship with food. Or if you are someone who is struggling with disordered eating, or maybe you know someone who is struggling, hopefully this episode will help them or you as well. So just a brief disclaimer, want to make sure that we're all in a safe space and a happy space when we are listening to this podcast, but we got to talk about the hard topics sometimes too. And believe me, I've been there. My heart really does go out to anyone struggling with their relationship with food. I mean, food is such a big part of our lives, right? We have to eat in order to survive. So I want to say, first off, any type of eating pattern that is out of the normal can be seriously problematic and affect not just your fitness goals, but also your mental health, your physical health, and just your overall quality of life. Disordered eating behaviors can vary, but they really come down to having disordered attitudes in relation to food, body image, body weight, and appearance. So from my experience, these eating patterns usually include things like excessive dieting, restriction, intentionally skipping meals, binging, food elimination, and overuse of even like weight loss medications or diuretics or laxatives. Disordered eating patterns may also include food addiction. So on the opposite end of the spectrum, right? And overeating, super, super common in today's society. Other offsetting behaviors surrounding food can come into play too. So this might be over-exercising excessively or purging, things like that. These are all major issues, but they are very different from diagnosable eating disorders. Eating disorders, on the other hand, truthfully do cause psychological impairment and tend to be more complex and severe. Disorders such as anorexia, bulimia, BED, ARFID, and more. So just so you guys know those acronyms, I just explained. BED is binge eating disorder, and then ARFID is avoidant restrictive food intake disorder. And there are a couple other pretty severe eating disorders on top of these, but these are the ones I would say are the most prevalent in today's society. So being in the fitness industry, working with clients, and having gone through major disordered eating patterns myself, I already knew what a big issue this was. And honestly, it's super sad. And I've been seeing more and more people struggle with this, which is, I guess, why I felt called to kind of speak on it today. A couple conversations that I've had and things that I've seen, I just felt some certain type of way that I felt like this episode needed to be shared. But I actually did a little bit more research on the topic of just straight up relationship with food, eating disorders, and behaviors surrounding food that are abnormal. And the research actually blew my mind. As I mentioned, I do think females tend to struggle with this issue more than men, but having an unhealthy relationship with food is prevalent among many individuals, no matter their gender. There are a few things I found that I wanted to share with you guys, just some statistics to kind of tell you how big of a major issue this really is today, and hopefully we can work together as a community to solve these problems. So according to 2024 statistics, I'm going to pull this up for you guys on my computer. So just a couple ones that really stood out. A first statistic is women are over twice as likely to develop food addiction compared to men. It's estimated that 8.60% of women and 4.07% of men will experience an eating disorder in their lifetime. Also, in the U.S., more than 70 million adults are believed to be addicted to food. Next one, eating disorders cause 10,200 deaths each year in the U.S., which equates to one death every 52 minutes. Eating disorders led to the global loss of over 3.3 million healthy life years annually. In the past 2 years, binge eating disorder was the most commonly diagnosed standalone eating disorder, accounting for 24.3% of cases. Anorexia followed closely, making up 24.1% of cases. Other diagnoses included bulimia, which was at 6.2%, ARFID, which was at 5.3%, and then multiple eating disorders came in at 10.1%, other types of eating disorders at 30% to make up, you know, that 100%. And then when we talk about the psychological effects of eating disorders, this statistic really is just tragic. Over 70% of individuals with eating disorders also have other conditions, primarily anxiety and mood disorders. And out of those people who experience some type of eating disorder, 41% were also diagnosed with a generalized anxiety disorder. 38.6% were diagnosed with a major depressive disorder. And keep in mind that these studies are only done in people who have actually spoken up about having a problem with food or having an eating disorder. Most people I find are in a space to where they don't even feel good enough about themselves, or they don't even feel like they can open up to anyone about having these issues, you know? So this is just, it's so, so sad. What we eat, what we put in our body greatly affects not just our physical health, but also our mental health. So clearly this is a major issue and one that I felt very confident on speaking on. So yes, I've seen it. I've seen it in my clients. I've seen it in my friends. I've seen it in people I love, but I've also been through it myself. So I want to open up about my relationship with food in the past, you know, where it has been and where it's currently at now, and how I've been able to overcome my past eating disorders and negative compensatory actions surrounding food and exercise as a whole. I feel like when we go through hard times in life, they always make us stronger. I actually did a podcast about this just last week. I don't remember the exact quote I used, but it was something along the lines of there is, you know, beauty within the suffering. And I truly do believe that through a lot of the life challenges that we have and the challenges that God, for some reason, wants to throw our way, we end up being able to inspire others and be vulnerable with these life lessons and challenges and be able to share that with others. So I hope that this story that I'm about to share with you guys really resonates with you all and provides you again, which got just kind of a safe space. So I'll share with you guys what I feel. I guess none of it's comfortable. I'm not going to say that. But I'll share with you guys what I feel at least somewhat comfortable with sharing without overdoing it. So if I'm being honest, I really took some time to assess what my eating patterns looked like for me over the past couple of years, right? Or really not, I say couple of years, but throughout my entire life, I would say for most of my life, majority of my life, I've struggled with some type of negative relationship with food. But the severity and the type of disordered eating that I had has changed drastically over the years as I have learned more and gotten older. So it was worse for me when I was ages, I'd say 10 to 13, pretty young, right? I was really interested in eating healthy at the time, but I didn't really know how. I was also running a lot at the time, and I wanted to be the absolute best at what I did. So from a young age, I've been super competitive. Like even now, if it's like a board game, like I don't like really care, like I'll let you win. But if it's something that has to do with athletics, no, I'm going to win. I want to be the best at what I do. Same thing even with my career. You know, I want to be the best. I want those around me to succeed, but I want to be the best at what I do. And I put a lot of sacrifice into the things that are important to me. And again, as I mentioned, want to reiterate that because I learned this from a young age. And I think this kind of played a role in the eating disorder that I face. So around this age, again, I was just in elementary school leading up to middle school, some of the years as well. I had a pretty severe case of anorexia, symptoms like super low body weight. I remember having to shop. My mom and I would go like 3 or 4 hours away to Birmingham, which is a bigger city in Alabama, to find clothes specifically to fit me that I liked. It was like the kids' Abercrombie at the time. Even there, I had to get size like 00, and it was still falling off of me half the time. So I remember my clothes just didn't really fit. Every dress that I had, we had to get taken up so much, which wasn't really normal, even if I had, you know, the smallest size in the store. On top of that, obviously, I had super low body weight and body fat. I was freezing all the time. I'm still very cold nature, but not to the extent that this was. I mean, I was so cold, whether it was 100 degrees outside, it didn't matter. Also, my hair was very thin and it would fall out really frequently, which it shouldn't if you're healthy. I had super brittle nails that would break all the time. I would also bruise super easily. I was very pale and I would bruise so easily. Like someone would just bump into me, it'd leave a bruise. It would be there for the next 2 weeks. And then on top of that, when we talk about just the actual behaviors that I went through and that I placed upon myself at the time, super abnormal. I mean, I had a lot of social isolation surrounding food, which I think was the biggest thing. Like if there was an event, for example, that was structured around food, maybe it was going out to dinner, or maybe it was something where I knew there was going to be like unhealthy food there that I wasn't going to eat, I just wouldn't go to the event, or I would stress myself out about it to an amount that was really just extremely, extremely bad, extremely negative. I remember when it came to actually eating, I feared a lot of certain foods. I didn't eat very much, not at all, especially for a growing young female, of course. But specifically down to one example, I remember when I was going to school one morning, my mom actually made me like eat a little sausage link. It was just a normal sausage link. It had definitely a little bit more fat on it. And I think that's why I was most concerned, because my normal breakfast probably looked something like, I don't know, maybe just like a couple pieces of fruit, maybe a couple almonds, like nothing much at all. And that would, you know, supposed to last me for who knows how many hours. But my mom, it made me eat this sausage link that day. And I remember having just a breakdown when I had to eat that sausage link. Like it was crazy. I remember being on the floor, like crying, being so mad, being so pissed off at my mom. And I remember telling her that morning, fine, like I ate this, but this is the only thing I'm going to eat. You know what I mean? I was saying, if you made me eat this turkey sausage that had more fat on it than I'm used to eating, that's all I'm going to eat. And I went to school and that's what I did. So obviously that was not normal. And I remember my friends and my family were actually super concerned, but I didn't really see myself in the mirror and the way that I actually was. I didn't really look at myself like skin and bones. And honestly, I was so young at the time. I don't even think I could comprehend really how severe this was and what I was necessarily going through. I also remember, as I mentioned, fearing certain foods and over-exercising like crazy. So at the time, again, I was very passionate about running. I was running so much, sometimes like 10 miles a day. And I remember eating like maybe a little bit of low fat cottage cheese before I ran. And I was like, okay, that'll do me for the next 10 miles. Like that is insane. If anything, when you're running like that, especially as someone who is that young of age, you need to be fueling your body if you want to be, first of all, just healthy in general, but also if you want to be able to crush your goals when it came to running for me at the time. So this led to when we talk about psychological help, it led to very poor mental health on my end. I had anxiety, terrible, at a very young age, and I was very easily irritated. I remember my family telling me they felt like they were walking on eggshells when they were around me. Just little things, the slightest thing would just piss me off. It would just make me so mad. I had no ability to be flexible, which is so important now that I've learned. on top of that, you know, my disorder was so severe that I really had like delayed puberty. I remember having no menstruation until I was a lot older than most of my friends. And then I also had really bad bone density. So my joints were constantly in pain. I remember specifically with my knees, every time I ran, I had two braces on each of my knees and they would just hurt so bad. I iced my knees, my hips, and my ankles like every single night. I remember my dad even writing me a poem that was called like Sweet Potatoes and Ice was the name of it, because I ate sweet potatoes and I iced my body, you know. It was so severe, so crazy when I think about it. I broke a lot of bones in my wrist, almost every one of my fingers. I broke my foot one time. In short, that's, you guys get the gist of it, I feel like, now. But I was starving myself and I was exercising a very unhealthy amount. And I want to relate this back to you guys. First off, know that you are not alone if you're experiencing any of the things that I just mentioned. I think we know it's prevalent again in the US today, but many people don't speak up about it. And I didn't even realize it or speak up about it for a long time. And really thinking about it now, I think this is the first time where I've really took my time to actually share my story on a platform. So I hope that this helps you guys, and I hope that you see that you're not alone. But I want to talk about, on a more positive side of things, because we're in a much better space now, how I overcame that eating disorder and what my relationship with food looks like now. So how did I overcome it? I think it took a long time. I think first off, just realizing I had a problem was the first step. And just being honest with myself about how I was feeling, how I was acting, how I was looking, having family members and close friends point things out to me as far as what my body weight was, what I was looking at, and again, how I was acting. I sought out support for sure. I remember mainly my cross country coach at the time helped me a lot too, because he was like, look, like you're never going to be good at your sport if you're not fueling yourself and you're getting injured all the time. You know, so he helped me a lot. Also started listening to my family a bit more, of course, my parents. And I wanted to be the best, as I mentioned, at what I did. So I think once I really took into consideration, okay, if I continue to go down this pattern, I'm never going to be successful in my career as a runner. And I was willing to make changes after things had gotten so bad. But I would say even years, you know, later down the road, after my eating patterns were much better, I still definitely struggled with, I would say, just seeing food in an unhealthy way. But I started to study nutrition as I got older. I was always interested in it, but I really took a passion for it, I would say, towards the beginning of high school. Probably I started studying nutrition a little bit. High school was probably more like end of middle school too. I took a passion for learning about nutrition and learning how to fuel my body. And, you know, later down the road, of course, as I graduated high school or whatever, I ended up starting my career as a bodybuilder, and I ended up studying in detail and getting certifications for training and nutrition, all that good stuff. So once I started bodybuilding, it was very helpful for me at first. It gave me something to focus on. It made me understand, you know, what foods worked well for my body, what, you know, each macronutrient did when we talk about protein, fats, and carbohydrates, and how to kind of manipulate those to actually feel good and to actually look good. But I will say, as a bodybuilder, it also has had some negative effects with me on food, I can't lie. And I think it's because I had this past history of an eating disorder. It's something that I think I'll honestly always struggle with. Many of you out there who can relate, who are competitors, I don't think I'll ever see food the same way. Like when I get a dinner plate, I don't think I'll ever look at that plate as like, ooh, this is just my dinner, let me eat whatever I want. I think I'm always going to break it down as, okay, this is my fat, this is my carbohydrate, and this is my protein source. I think we all struggle with body image to an extent. It at least some point in our life. I know that I do. To be real, it's part of being a competitor and really just a human. We're overly critical of ourselves at times. But all this goes to say, I think now, and I'm talking about just in the past year or so, I think my relationship with food is probably better than it ever has been, because I now truly see food as fuel. And I like eating clean. Most of my friends will tell you, like, I'm psychotic when it comes to eating out. I mean, I haven't had even a sweet or a pizza in like 10 years, but it's not because I'm scared to have it. It's truthfully just because I don't want it. I like seeing my body look good. I like feeling good. I know what foods work well for my body. And I know so much about nutrition at this point that I just don't want to put garbage in my body. But again, as I mentioned, I'm not afraid to have a slice of bread if I want to, or go out for a cheat meal if I want to. I'm not scared of any thing around food. And I think the relationship with it is much, much better. So that's kind of my story, where I've been in the past, where I am today. And in today's episode, I want to speak on several different areas surrounding food to hopefully help you transform or at least better your current relationship with food. If you want high quality supplements that taste good and yield results, you have to check out First Form. This is a supplement company that I truly do believe in. First Form products are backed by research and created to improve your overall health and performance. What I love most about this brand, though, isn't the products, it's the team's philosophy. Developing an undeniable belief in self, cultivating courage, and adopting a no quit and never settle mentality, which you guys know I am all about. But of course, the products are bomb too. Right now, I'm loving the vegan protein powder and flavor iced oatmeal cookie and the unflavored creatine to boost my performance in the gym and fight off muscle fatigue. Be sure to get these awesome products from First Form and purchase through my link, firstform.com/KinsleyMeeks, in my Instagram bio, @YoItsKinslow, that's YoItsKinslow, to support me and better your overall health and wellness. Now, let's get back to the pod. So in this episode, you're going to learn a lot of different things. Super excited to share with you all. First thing you're going to learn is just what a healthy relationship with food is. We're also going to talk about how to assess your relationship with food. We're going to talk about restriction versus moderation surrounding food. I will also speak on how to find balance with food and exercise, which is so crucial, how to practice mindful consumption, along with kind of like the pros and cons of food tracking or macro tracking. I am a nutrition coach, just how I make my money, but I know that food tracking, macro tracking is not for everyone. So let's start off with main point of today. Number one, what is a healthy relationship with food? How do you know if your relationship with food is actually healthy? To me, it comes down to three main things. Number one would be, you know how to listen to your body and take action on hunger cues. You know when you're full, you're able to eat mindfully and recognize, I would say, like your emotional connection with food. You're not overeating and you're not undereating. Secondly, you don't use food as a reward or a punishment. That's a big one. And then lastly, you truly care about providing your body with nutritious foods that cater to your body's specific goals and needs. You give yourself permission to eat foods that actually make you feel good, both mentally and physically. And when you give yourself permission, you have no conditions or no guilt surrounding that permission that you give yourself. And then how do you assess this? How do you assess what is my relationship with food? First thing is just having an honest conversation with yourself. And it starts by just look at your habits. You know, do you overly restrict? Do you undereat? Do you overeat? Do you eat out of emotion? What are your thoughts, feelings, and intentions surrounding the food that you eat? Do you believe that your value and your self-worth are by no means defined by what you eat on any given day? Because they for sure should not be. Those are the questions you need to ask yourself. It's more about, as I mentioned, just looking at your habits and being honest. And if you can't be honest with yourself, then you need to ask somebody to sit down and to help you be honest. Sometimes it takes a special person, a friend, a dietitian, someone who supports you, a trainer, a loved one, whoever it may be, to point these things out for you. Because a lot of times we don't want to be honest with ourselves because it sucks and it's hard. So next, let's talk about restriction versus moderation. I want to start off by saying, y'all, I'm a nutrition coach. I'm a bodybuilder. So it's perfectly okay to diet for an important event. It's okay to place yourself in an extreme diet for a short period of time. This is what I do with bodybuilding, and it's because I choose to, right? I'm not 7% body fat year round. I do stay pretty conditioned because I like to, but I'm not starving myself by any means when I'm in my off season. And I'm a nutrition coach too, right? So I love challenging my clients to hit specific goals. But I try my best to do it in a way that's healthy and in a way that's sustainable. So if I see any client demonstrating a disordered eating pattern, the last thing I'm going to do is place them on an overly restrictive meal plan and have them count their calories and track every macro and cut out certain food groups. That's just not happening with me, because it's health over wealth any day. Everyone's nutrition goals and needs really do vary. They're completely custom to every individual, so it's super important to assess your relationship with food, as we talked about earlier. So we know what it means to overly restrict. When you overly restrict, you have extremely strict limitations on what you can eat, which leads to an obsession with food that is unhealthy, often to the point of worsening your overall health, mentally and physically, and usually causing some type of nutrient deficiency as well. These overly restrictive food patterns can become very harmful to your well-being and your quality of life. On the opposite end of the spectrum, though, what does it mean to eat in moderation? This doesn't mean eating whatever tastes good or whatever you feel like eating or rewarding yourself with half a dozen donuts after a hard leg day. That's not what it means. Eating in moderation for me means to eat with reasonable limits, not excessively, and not depriving yourself. This is having nutrient variety, stopping when you feel full, listening to your body when you're hungry, seeing and understanding food as fuel for your body, not just eating for entertainment or for pleasure, which I think a lot of us have an issue with. It takes a long time to get the hang of this for sure. I'm not saying that you can't ever enjoy your meals or have something that's unhealthy. In fact, you should enjoy your meals, but you shouldn't enjoy them to a way that is unhealthy. And you guys know what I mean. And this kind of leads me into my next point, finding balance. Balance is one that I've struggled with for so many years. I still struggle with it when it comes to especially like my career and things like that. But when we talk about food, right, when we talk about finding balance with nutrition and exercise, this is something you have to do in order to improve your relationship with food. So let's talk about nutrition first. I would say number one is just mindful consumption. Mindful eating is really just paying more attention to how and what you are consuming without judgment. So you're stopping when you feel full, you're eating more when you're hungry, and you're also just being present in every meal. I feel like we're oftentimes in a rush, and this is okay. I understand you can't have an hour dinner every time you're going to eat. However, we're always in a rush. Maybe we're watching TV while we eat, or we're in the car while we're grabbing a sandwich, or we're talking on the phone while we're eating our last meal. You know, I would try to avoid distractions while you're eating as much as you can, eating slowly, being mindful. And actually, it comes down to, I think when we talk about having this healthy relationship, it's you need to actually make a conscious effort to think about what you are putting in your body, because food affects how we look and how we feel. And if you're treating your body like garbage and putting, to be honest with you, these processed foods that have detrimental effects on our health, I mean, do any type of research. Y'all know I'm passionate. I feel like I'm like screaming through my apartment right now, but I need y'all to understand when you're under eating or when you're fueling your body with garbage, it's not fueling your body. It's literally destroying your body. All of the fried foods, the processed crap that's out there because it's easy and it's convenient. You don't have a healthy relationship with your body if you're eating that. You just don't, because you don't care about yourself. So that's something you have to be brutally honest with yourself about. There's also a difference between mindful eating versus nutrition planning or macro tracking. So next topic I want to go into is diets, nutrition plans, macro tracking versus eating intuitively. When you are trying to determine the right nutrition protocol for yourself, it is extremely custom to every individual. I mentioned that earlier. However, I do not suggest that everyone follow a super strict diet or a macro meal plan. And I want to tell you, this is hard for me to say because I'm a nutrition coach. So I want to get clients. I want to make money. I want to help people. But nutrition programming is not for everyone. So people who would benefit from a meal plan and or macro tracking, couple different things. First will be competitors. You got to know how to eat if you're going to hop on stage in the next couple of months. Secondly would be lifestyle individuals who want to transform their physical appearance. People who have a good relationship with food already and are just wanting to kind of dial things in would be great for this type of structure. People who maybe lack nutrition knowledge and need someone to help them would be great for this nutrition protocol. People who struggle with accountability and discipline, or maybe anyone with a specific goal. It's a photo shoot. It's a wedding. It's an important event that you want to look and feel your best at. I think it's super beneficial to have some type of structured nutrition protocol, whether it's a meal plan, whether it's macro tracking, whether it's being more mindful, something that's a little bit more structured. But when we talk about people who would not benefit from a meal plan and or macro tracking, that is also a big thing. So people who have a history of disordered eating, people who have a poor relationship with food, people who maybe even find meal planning or counting macros to be stressful and unattainable. Nutrition protocols should be very challenging. Don't get me wrong. However, they shouldn't take away from your life, if that makes sense. They should actually add to your life. And that goes to say with anything in life, from my experience, if you're doing something that is taking away from your life and it's making you feel worse, it probably shouldn't be in your life, you know? That's kind of more topic on balance with nutrition. Now, when we talk about balance with exercise, this one is also very prevalent when it comes to your relationship with food. So balance with exercise comes down to not over-exercising or overtraining in one specific area, knowing how to adjust your workout intensity based on your goals and your needs, and then prioritizing your rest and recovery, listening to your body. You need to train smart and really see food as fuel for your workouts and your daily functions. And that's a big key takeaway for today too. Once you kind of switch that light bulb on in your mind, that's like, okay, what I'm putting in my body is fuel. It's not just eating to eat, or it's not just under eating because I want to look a certain type of way. I'm actually fueling my body for what I need to do on this given day. I think that's the most healthy way to eat. Okay. So that is all I have for you guys today as far as helping you with your relationship with food and hopefully making a big change in your life if this is something that you struggle with. Before we end today's show, I always like to do a little outro with a question from a listener, and this is today's question. When I am in the gym training alone, I find it hard to determine what weight I should be using. How do you know if the weight you're using is too heavy, too light, or if it's a correct weight? Okay, I like this one. I always say that with every question, but these are good ones. So first thing I want to stress to you is you should always prioritize your technique over the weight in which you're using. If you're just throwing heavy weight on the bar and squatting up and down, you're going to injure yourself and you're not going to see much progress when it comes to actual muscle hypertrophy. So a good way to explain it, and this is what I tell my clients as well, when I go out of town or they're training on their own, I tell them the last 3 to 4 reps of every set should be challenging, but you're still able to maintain your proper technique. So you know if you have 3 reps left in your set and your back is being crushed and your form is looking crazy and you just can't get that weight up without taking your body out of alignment or doing something crazy, you know the weight's too heavy. But if you do a set of 15 reps and from rep 1 to 15, it's super easy and you're just kind of flying through the motions, you're having fun, you're like, oh, I'm a little fitness girly, I'm in the gym, I'm lifting weights, I do not respect that and I do not recommend it. So focus on those last 3 to 4 reps being really, really challenging, but still able to complete with correct form. And this kind of depends too on how advanced you are with your training. If you're someone who is a little bit more advanced, I do believe you should be taking some sets to failure when you are training. Not every single set, but multiple sets really when you are training to absolute muscle failure. Okay. And that's taxing out the muscle in the correct way until it's so fatigued that you can't perform another rep. So I hope this helps you. And I also want to say, if any of you guys out there listening do have a question that you'd like for me to talk about on the show, or maybe it's just a question that you want me to answer and not even put on the show, I'm more than happy to give back and I love answering questions. So the best way to get those questions to me are just to reach out to me through my Instagram profiles. I have 2 of them. The first one is at @YoItsKenslow. That's my main page. It's at @YoItsKenslow. I post a lot of content on there, whether it's beauty, fashion, fitness, nutrition, mental health, all that good stuff. And then as far as my business page, that's going to be Fitness for Fortitude, the word fitness, the number 4, and the word fortitude, which is FORTITUDE. A lot of podcasts is up on that page as well. And I plan to keep kind of growing these social media platforms. So I hope you guys enjoyed the show. And again, I hope my story really helps you in some type of way and provides you with value, with knowledge, and again, that inspiration in your health and wellness journey. I want to remind you guys to, again, see food as fuel. And if you have a loved one or you are someone who's struggling with disordered eating, please listen to this episode and know that you're not alone. Or again, if it's someone that you know who's struggling, please share this episode with them in hopes to help them in their journey. Because at the end of the day, again, we're all human. We all have our struggles and we need to honestly do a better job in helping one another. So yeah, that is that. And then if you guys are interested, of course, in fitness or nutrition coaching, that is what I do, both in person and online. So you can also send me a message if you're struggling with your food or thoughts surrounding food or thoughts around training and nutrition, anything in that realm, you can reach out to me through those same Instagram profiles or shoot me an email at kinsleymeeksfit@gmail.com, which is Kenslei meeksfit@gmail.com, and I'll get back to you as soon as I can. So I appreciate you guys tuning in. I appreciate you guys watching if you're on the YouTube content right now as well. Wishing you guys blessings. Keep it strong leading into 2025. I know it's going to be a good year for all of us. Let's make sure that we're prioritizing our health both mentally and physically. I will talk to you guys next Thursday with another topic and look forward to it. Y'all have a blessed one and talk to you later. Bye.